reading 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious.
Well, as the word in 1 Peter 2:2 speaks strongly, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I believe that you all agree with me that we cannot outgrow the word of God. Day by day, it has something to say to us spiritually. Perhaps you know that there are some so-called believers who think that Bible study or searching the Word of God is sometimes, perhaps, I don't know, some people have this idea, twisted idea, that studying deeply the Word of God is not necessary. Bible reading, they say, is sufficient because we have the Holy Spirit anyway in us, who teaches us all things. Often they cite 1 John 2:27 in support of their view, which says, "As for you, the anointing of the Holy Spirit, which you receive from God, abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." This passage, however, is not implying that the Bible or Bible teachers or whoever teach the Word of God, could be a pastor, could be a lecturer, it doesn't mean that this verse, or it does not imply that teachers or pastors should not actually, or for that matter, those who hear this verse is not necessary. Well, I disagree with that. On the contrary, John was actually exhorting his readers to abide in what already learned in verse 24. If you go to that verse 24 the same chapter, it says, "Who in his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead."
Where are we?
In 1 Peter 2:2.
224. Thank you.
I am quoting from 1 John, I should say. 1 John 2. 24. And let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. So that is what John is actually exhorting us, to abide in what we already have been learning and learn and will continue to learn. and to shun only those teachers or avoid those teachers who deny Christ and try to deceive believers. There are a lot of them, the cults and those who are trying to show that they know the Bible, and yet they are false teachers. They deserve even the elect one. So the Holy Spirit is the believer's resident, detecting every lie, helping us to detect every falsehood who present the Word of God according to their whims, granting us by the Holy Spirit discernment to shield each one of us from false doctrine. Although a Christian may be temporarily confused by false teachers, ultimately he can never drift away into apostasy or deny Christ if you are truly a born-again believer in Christ. Ultimately, we will bounce back because the Holy Spirit will teach us what we have learned and to establish into that truth that is already established in our hearts and minds. So, if anyone doesn't depart from faith, or in other words, if anyone does depart from faith, I should say, his departure is proof that he was never a true believer in the first place, according to verse 19 of that verse, John chapter 2. But the anointing which you have received of him abided in you, and you did not any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in him. So that is the repetition of what I just said a while ago.
You mentioned verse 19.
Verse 19 of 1 John.
Yeah, but that's different. They went out from us, but they were not of us.
What verse is that, Pastor Mark?
Well, you just mentioned in 1 John 2:19, they went out from us, but they were not of us.
Yeah.
For if they had been of us, they would not, no doubt, have continued with us.
Okay. Oh, yes, that's right. Yeah, that's right. There, they went. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. I don't know why I went to verse 24. So forgive me for that. In verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. But if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Well. Some people who cannot stay in the right doctrine, when they come to fellowship with us, you can see that if they go out, because they don't really belong. And that is what verse 19 is saying. The Spirit protects you from error, but you must fulfill your responsibility as a student of the Word of God. Even a man of Timothy's spiritual maturity, he continually need to study the Word of God with all his heart, with diligence, and to handle it accurately, according to 2 Timothy 2:15. I pray that in our study from even 2 Timothy 2:15, that the Lord will give us an attitude towards the Bible, towards this truth. As the psalmist expressed in his meditation of his word, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. So, as we continually, not only tonight, but even the rest of our lives before we go going to the glory of God, as we continue to study and meditate on God's word, let us consider the following points to ponder. First, The scripture is our source of spiritual growth. That is in 1 Peter 2:2. Again, I will read it again on verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It is a sad news when, in the past, a newborn baby was abandoned in a pile of rubbish in a city alley. The mother had obviously left it there to die for obvious reason. The infant was near death when someone heard its faint cry and summoned medical help. The child survived, but only because it has received the attention and nourishment it needed. That situation has a spiritual parallel, which Peter used to illustrate the believer's dependence on God's word. If a baby is deprived of nourishment, it will soon die. Similarly, if a Christian doesn't feed on the Word of God, he or will see languish spiritually and will become ineffective for the Lord. However, on the positive side, a believer should long for God's Word as strongly and intently as we can, as a newborn baby longs for the mother's milk. The scriptures also draws on the parent-child metaphor in other ways as well, referring to Christians as being born again in John chapter 3, verse 7. And also, they are called children of the living God in Romans 8, 16 and 1 John 3, 1. We are also called adopted sons. Romans 8, verse 15, and Ephesians 1, 5. So, just as it is natural for biological children to grow and mature, Christians also have the capacity for spiritual growth. In fact, we are commanded to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to 2 Peter 3:18, which I invite you to open to that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. Amen. The Word of God is continually should serve our spiritual diet day by day. It's the only primary source for our spiritual nourishment. Paul says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 to 7, as you have received Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him, having been rooted and now being built up in him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. That word, that phrase, your faith, in that context refers to the content of our Christian faith, the doctrines of the scripture. As our knowledge and application of biblical truths increase in our meditation, in our study, even on Wednesdays and Sundays, the end result of this with our prayer, a constant cry before the Lord and the Holy Spirit's help, we will become more and more grounded in the truth of God's word and being steadfast in our faith and walk with our Lord Jesus. So the prayer challenge that we should actually meditate and impress upon us, that if we've lost our appetite for God's word, it may be because of some hidden sin. It may be because of failure to confess our sin. According to, again, that verse in 1 Peter 2:2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, these are all various types of sin that we can sometimes unknowingly repeat them. Although we have confessed them, sometimes if we are not careful, we can repeat this sin. And these are the continuous sin that can actually affect in losing our appetite for God's word. And if so, let us, by humility, asking God to cleanse our hearts and to give us a renewed longing for his truth, so that as we commit ourselves daily in the word of God, then we will be in the right path, because the Holy Spirit, who instructed us to learn about our Savior, about our Lord Jesus Christ, about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit as well, the Triune God, and the doctrine of the Scriptures as well, and all that it entails for our self-edification and conforming to the will of God. So these all contribute to our spiritual growth. And then the second thought point that we are going to ponder is that we are to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, in Ephesians 6:17. Let's open to Ephesians 6:17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet here, the helmet of salvation, protects our head. And elsewhere, Paul writes the helmet of salvation as the hope of salvation, particularly in 1 Thessalonians 5:8. Open that with me as well. Is the helmet of salvation is also called the hope of salvation. First Thessalonians 5:8. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. Let us put on this helmet by meditating much on our great salvation in our Lord Jesus Christ. We also need this helmet as those who bring the message of salvation to needy sinners. Because when we share the gospel of salvation to others, they also look upon our lives. If we are truly doing the Word of God, explaining the truth to them, and yet they are also observing whether we do these truths. Isaiah 59 will show that to us. Isaiah 59, verse 16 to 17. Isaiah 59. And he saw them that there was no man, and wondered there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. Verse 17, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. So righteousness is also the effect of studying continuously and meditating upon the Word. Because as newborn babes, we must continually seek God's face to really eat this Word and masticate them and digest them, not because of our own strength, not just for the sake of increase more biblical teaching in our head, but to really affect our lives, that there is a real ongoing change. And the question that we might ask ourselves after we hear the Word of God, like for instance, how much change it has taken place in our lives for the last, say for instance, since the first month of this year up to the present. As the Word of God that we have received, even today, this morning, has affected us. So this is the righteousness. When there is no change in our lives, even though we fill our minds with the Word of God, it's of no consequence in the sight of God. Righteousness or holy life must actually go together when we study the Word of God. That somehow, the ultimate end, that righteousness and holiness will be seen in our lives. And ultimately, the footprints of our Lord Jesus Christ teaching in our lives lead us to that walk closely with Him and in prayer. So the sword, which we will go back in in Ephesians chapter 6 a while ago. That the sword is a weapon for attack, and we must use the Word of God in our fight against the dark powers of the evil one. Sometimes we just use our own thoughts in trying to argue with those who carry their Bible, especially those cults that comes to our home. We cannot do that. We must actually be equipped with the teaching of God's Word and the power of the Holy Spirit, so that the Word in this verse is not logos, but it is what actually the Word is spoken by God. The Word is spoken by God when God, in the beginning, God says, let there be light. Those are the spoken Word of God. But the written Word that were inspired were also the Word of God, but they were anointed by the Holy Spirit, written by godly men. But there were also spoken Word of God, which God Himself uttered through the writers of the Word of God. And this Word is the Bible. It is also called the sword of the Spirit because it is given by the Holy Spirit. It is actually anointed by the Holy Spirit in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So, ultimately, this inspired word of God should actually not only teach us the right teaching or doctrine, but it also correct us, it reprove us, and correct our simple ways. Reveal all about us as sinners. And by God's grace, the Holy Spirit convict us of our sin, so that the further teaching of the Word of God instruct us to live a life of righteousness and holiness. And the Holy Spirit as well help us to apply it in our own hearts. We cannot apply the truth of God's word by our own strength, by our own plans and self-motivation. There's nothing in righteousness about self-motivation. It's always the Holy Spirit inspiration. Amen. The word of the world call it motivation. That's the end of it. But it is the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it's only the Holy Spirit who can help us apply it. That's why if we don't pray as we should and seek God's face with all our hearts, then we have difficulty actually in applying the Word of God like a baby, a babe, crying for the milk. I know someone, when they were young, they always cry for milk. It says, milk, milk, milk. If we don't give that child milk, they will continue to cry. Is that the longing of our heart? Do we cry for God to have a longing for the milk of the Word of God? I tell you, it is only as we continue to pray and seek God's face, that this longing of the heart cannot be one's experience if we don't continually act like a newborn babe, crying for milk. And if the mother doesn't give that milk, cry and cry and cry until the mother will be awakened to give that precious milk for that baby's growth and upbringing. Paul goes on to ask for prayer that he may have utterance to boldly proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And we must memorize the scripture and the Bible and know the Bible if the Holy Spirit is to use us as witness for Christ and the attack of the strongholds and of Satan. Remember, we are facing on a daily basis a spiritual battle. Some of us does not recognize that. We have a spiritual battle, each one of us. And we cannot fight it in our own strength. That's why without the Word of God, without the Holy Spirit helping us, crying before God to help us be change from glory to glory. Remember, the Word of God is not just there to memorize. It should actually change us. It must actually change the whole person inside. And then outwardly, the person will also change. And lastly, we must have that important to ponder, point to ponder is obedience. of the scripture bring spiritual blessings. Let's look at the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verse 28. Luke 11. Verse 28. And it says, but he said, ye rather, blessed are they that hears the word of God and keep it. Bless and keeping it goes together. We cannot just read it and keep it. We cannot just read it and forget about it. But we must keep it so that the blessings of God will be our portion. When the scripture speaks of a person's being blessed, it usually refers to the reception of some temporal or spiritual benefit. It also includes the joy and the sense of well-being that comes with knowing that God is at work on our behalf. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 1 and 2, Psalm 1, 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2, it says, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the word of the Lord, or is in the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates day and night. And he will be like a tree, firmly planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And in whatever he does, he prospers. Those who know and obey God's word will be blessed. And there's nothing, no one can actually argue with that. Those who know and obey the word of God will be blessed by God. So that the psalmist likened them to a strong, productive, prosperous tree. And James added, in James 1:25, one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, which is the word of God, and abides by it, not having become forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. In other words, we should not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word.
Amen.
Again, the very act of obedience itself brings blessing. And the opposite is very obvious. Disobedience does not bring any blessings. The Apostle John opens the book of Revelation with this promise. In Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads and those who hear the word of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it. So again, reading and action goes together. Even our Lord Jesus himself closed the revelation with the same promise. In Revelation 22, verse 7, if you're going to look at that quickly with me, Revelation 22, verse 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Not just the book of Revelation. It is the whole book. Okay? Somebody's reading. Therefore, again by repeating it, blessed is he who heeds the word of the prophecy of this book. Obedience and blessings always go together. together. In the end, I would like to say this in application for all these thoughts. As a Christian, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly place, in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, according to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Every spiritual resources that we have in the Word of God is for us for the taking. We should cry as a babe. The nourishment of the Word of God. Even in times of sorrow and discouragement and persecution, we should not be discouraged to avoid the study and meditation of God's Word. As we continue to seek God's face, God's blessing will rest on us. 1 Peter 4:4, 4:14. And this is the last verse I'm going to read before you. First Peter 4:14, it says, "If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you." On their part is evil spoken of, but on your part is glorified. In other words, when we are vilified, when we are persecuted for Christ's sake, it glorifies God. And as I reflect on this myself, there are lots of situations when we receive something as a thanks that does not actually please us. Sometimes we answer them in the same way. But even the Lord Jesus, if somebody slap you on the left, give the right one. Or if they slap you on the right, give the left. That is how the Lord Jesus wants us to react on our persecution or our persecutors as well. What a timely reminder, isn't it? Because as humans, we still have the capacity to fight back. But let us be what the Lord Jesus, who says, "Blessed is he who heeds the word of God, of the prophecy of this book." But you can also, I remind you of this, but we can forfeit his blessings by neglecting his word or by committing the other side of our lives, which is the old nature. Sometimes the old nature is always under the usefulness of the devil. That's why we need to continually pray and meditate upon the Word of God and seek God's face with all our heart. So let us guard our heart carefully and continue in asking God, because even receiving this message tonight from God's Word is not enough. We must continue to put it together with prayer so that it will take effect quite immediately from tonight. Because if there's no change, if there's no effect, which is the change in our lives, then we're just like feeling ourselves like a car. When it goes out, we just fill it, go to the station, and fill it back again. And then we will remain stopping. We will not strengthen, and there's no change. But God expects change. As we meditate and pray and seek God's face. Well, as we do this, modes of God's grace in our lives, our joy will increase. And our joy in serving God and living for Him and witnessing for Him will actually be seen under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. This is what it takes. This is the price that we have to pay. We're going to be a very useful vessel in the kingdom of God. Amen.